Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. One of the central verses in the Bible is found in Mark chapter 8. It's in verse 29, where Peter makes the great confession, "Thou art the Christ." And while that statement was certainly a pinnacle in the life of Peter, it was, as were so many pinnacles in Peter's life, immediately preceded and followed by valleys. Earlier in the same chapter, in verse 18, Jesus had upbraided the apostles, including Peter, for their failure to remember the great miracle that he had just performed in feeding the 4,000 at the beginning of this chapter. And then verse 18, Jesus asked them, "Having eyes, see ye not?" And then in verse 33, just after that great confession in verse 29, Jesus rebuked Peter in the strongest terms. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." From the great confession that Jesus is the Christ in verse 29 to being called Satan by Jesus in verse 33, that was a steep decline even for Peter. Well, with that background, let's look at another event in Mark chapter 8. One that has caused a lot of controversy over the years, the healing of the blind man, starting in verse 22. "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up, and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town." Well, why has that miracle so long been the subject of speculation and controversy? Well, it's because it's the only two-stage healing in the Gospels. Jesus' other miracles appear sudden and instantaneous. In fact, some of them, such as the raising of Lazarus, could only be sudden and instantaneous. At one instant, Lazarus was dead. The next instant, Lazarus is alive. Why the difference here? Was Jesus unable to heal this man instantly? Why did this miracle occur in two steps? Well, let's start with what we know is not the answer. It is certainly not the case that this miracle was done in two stages because Jesus lacked the power to do otherwise. We know absolutely that is not the reason. It is by Jesus that all things were created. It is by Jesus that all things consist, Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Jesus raised the dead. Jesus cast out demons in this very book of Mark, looking at chapter 5. Whatever the reason for this gradual miracle, the reason was most definitely not some limitation on the part of Jesus. This man was healed in this manner because Jesus wanted him to be healed in this manner. But the question remains, why? Why did Jesus want that? Well, could it possibly have been caused by unbelief on the part of the man who was being healed here? And that certainly caused Jesus to do no mighty works in Mark chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. But there's no indication here at all that this blind man lacked faith. And there's a big difference between doing no mighty work, as Jesus did in Mark 6, and doing a mighty work in two stages, which is what he does here in Mark chapter 8. So I don't think that's the answer. Calvin said that this man was healed in this way just to show us that Jesus was not restricted to a fixed rule, but could heal people slowly or quickly. And I have to say that that makes about as much sense as most of what Calvin had to say. When you're raising people from the dead and healing people who are blind, you don't need to go out of your way to convince people you could do it slowly if you wanted to. That just doesn't seem to be the answer. Some others say, oh no, this two-step process was because of the bright Middle Eastern sun, they say. So apparently if Jesus had just handed him some sunglasses, then it would have been in one stage. I think all those explanations miss the boat, some of them much further than others. But worse, I think they missed the point. I think they missed the point that Jesus was intending for us to see in this miracle. Do you mean to say that Jesus was teaching while he was doing this miracle? When was Jesus not teaching? Yes, he was teaching when he was doing this miracle. Think for a moment about the context of chapter 8 that we looked at just a second ago. In verse 18, Jesus told Peter to do what? Open your eyes, he said. And in verse 29, at the time of the great confession, it would seem that Peter had opened his eyes. But just a few verses later, in verse 33, we see that Peter still did not see things clearly. Can't we see a comparison between Peter and this blind man? Didn't both start out blind? Didn't both then spend some time with Jesus? Weren't both able to see, at least partially, after spending that time with Jesus? But wasn't it true that neither was yet able to see as he should? Jesus completely opened the eyes of the blind man in verse 25, and that was what Jesus was seeking to accomplish with Peter when Jesus rebuked him in verse 33. He was saying, "Open your eyes, Peter." The key to understanding this miracle is to see it for what it is. It's an acted parable, a living metaphor. Jesus healed this blind man in the way that he did so that he could teach his followers a lesson. That's the master teacher healing this blind man. Jesus' question to the man in verse 23, I think, confirms that this miracle was intended to teach. Jesus asked him if he saw as he ought. Jesus certainly knew the answer to that question before he asked it. But he wanted his apostles to hear the answer to that question, and that's why he asked it. Do you think they'd ever heard an answer like that after one of Jesus' miracles? Do you think they'd ever heard someone say after one of Jesus' miracles, "Well, I still have problems. I still can't see right." No, they'd never heard that before. You know this got their attention. This immediately got their attention, and that is exactly what Jesus intended. He intended this miracle to teach. Well, what was the lesson that Jesus was teaching with this miracle? Although the apostles saw Jesus by chapter 8 as the promised Messiah, they did not yet see that Jesus was the suffering Messiah. Because they could not see Jesus clearly, they were stumbling. They were stumbling at the stone of stumbling, at the rock of offense, 1 Peter 2:8, as most of their countrymen continued to do. Jesus wanted his apostles to open their eyes. In fact, that's the theme of Mark chapter 8. You can see it in verse 18. Having eyes, see ye not? That's all about chapter 8. That's the theme of chapter 8. The real problem with the apostles was not that they were blind, but that they didn't even know they were blind. We see that clearly in verse 32, when Peter takes Jesus aside to rebuke him. Just three verses after calling Jesus the Messiah, Peter's rebuking Jesus. Clearly, Peter was not seeing things clearly. Having eyes, see ye not? Well, that's a question for all of us, isn't it? Anytime we're tempted to wonder how those apostles could have been so dense, we need to ask ourselves the same question, don't we? By performing that two-stage miracle, Jesus was inviting the apostles to see their own blindness. And that invitation is ours as well. Well, to what can we be blind today? Well, we've already said a lot about Peter tonight. So let's let Peter answer that question for us. To what can a Christian be blind? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, Peter says, and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. There will never come a day in the life of a Christian on this earth when that Christian can no longer improve his or her spiritual eyesight. And when we find ourselves doing things of which God does not approve, we need to stop and ask ourselves the question of Mark chapter 8, verse 8. Having eyes, see ye not? Well, how do we improve our spiritual eyesight? Peter just told us. We do that by adding faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and kindness and love. As we grow in those things, our spiritual eyesight will improve. That's exactly what Peter's telling us there. Jesus had also told us that. Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they shall see God. Chapter 8 ends with a final lesson from Jesus. The apostles did not understand that Jesus was to be a suffering Messiah, and they also did not understand what that meant for them personally. Jesus tells them in verse 34, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's how this chapter ends. This chapter on spiritual eyesight. When Jesus calls a man, he bids him to come and die. Only by opening our eyes to that wonderful truth can we live the life that God wants us to live. Only then can we say with Paul, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world, Galatians 6:14. If you've never taken up that cross, or if having taken it up, you've put that cross back down, now is the time to make yourself right with God. If you've never taken up your own cross to follow Him, you can do that tonight through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only by being buried with Him in baptism can we walk in newness of life and have our eyes opened to live the life that God wants us to live. If we can help in any way, please come while we stand, while we sing.